We are almost done with our Baptist distinctives, and I can't ask anymore if you can list them, because now we've listed them on the back of the handout, so it won't be quite the same.
I can answer.
You can answer now? Yeah. Okay. I was going to bring candy, and then I thought, wait a minute, everybody will just read back to me what's on the back of the... All right. So our last Baptist distinctive is separation of church and state, and this issue... there's much confusion about, I think, this issue, at least in many circles, both in practice and its origin. But Baptists believe that this is not just a preferred method of running a state, that is the relationship between the state and the church, but that Jesus himself address this issue. And I want to read you something. In 1920, speaking from the steps of the United States Capitol to 15,000 people, Texas Baptist pastor George W. Truett said this. He said, quoting Jesus in Matthew 22, he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." He said, "It is one of the most revolutionary and history-making utterances that ever fell from those lips divine. That utterance, once and for all, marked the divorcement of church and state. It was the sunrise gun of a new day, the echoes of which are to go on and on until every land, whether great or small, the doctrine shall have absolute supremacy everywhere of a free church in a free state." And I thought that was a great quote from George Truett. But I just want to talk about the basis of this this idea of separation of church and state. And God established both government and the church, and he gave each two distinct spheres of operation. The government's purpose is outlined in the scripture several places, and I'll read those verses to you in Romans 13, 1 through 7. I think I mentioned that. That's the verses I gave on the handout. And the church's purpose is found in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28 and also Mark 16. And the idea that we're going to talk about is neither should control the other, nor should there be an alliance between the two. And Christians in a free society should properly is the word, influence the government towards righteousness, which is not the same as, say, a denomination or a group of churches controlling the government. But today, the term has really been put on its head. And if you think about it today, the term has almost become or come to represent a hostility against Christians in particular, and this is also not correct. Let me read these verses in Romans 13. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise the same." And this was written by the Apostle Paul. He wasn't in prison yet, but he soon would spend, you know, much of the remainder of his life in prison. And he certainly lived in an antagonistic society that was certainly persecuting and killing Christians. So Paul's environment was much worse than anything we can even imagine. And he wrote those words inspired of the Lord there. So the basis for the free church and a free state is this. The Baptists believe in religious freedom and its close corollary, separation of the institutions of the church and state. And these come from the authority of the Bible. Jesus himself addressed this issue. And so let's just define just quickly what the term state and church. When we talk about the state, we're referring to governments. And the Bible indicates that governments are ordained of God to provide law and order. Government leaders are to act for the benefit of the citizens. And then Christians, and we're talking about Baptists this morning, but Baptists and other Christians are to honor and pray for government officials. We're to pay our taxes. We're to obey the government, except for those situations which clearly contradict God's will or contradict the Scripture. In the New Testament, when church is mentioned in the New Testament, it refers to the local congregation. But in the context of what we're talking about, the term church here is going to refer to something other than that. It's going to refer to other, all religious organizations, because obviously we live in a society that is not just Baptist. There are other denominations. There are many other religions in America. And so the church's responsibility, and now when we talk about this, we're talking about everything from schools to conventions to even convents. These are all religious organizations. So this is different than the biblical reference of church. This is when we're talking about the separation of church and state in our society. But the church, the government has its responsibilities, as I just mentioned, and the church then has its responsibilities. And they are primarily to spread the gospel, to train and to teach doctrine, disciple believers. And the church is not to rely on the government for any help, not to seek any help, but to do that in a free society. So ideally, this relationship is mutually beneficial. If you think about it, if the government provides order and safety, that then allows the church to carry out the Great Commission and do what we've been told to do. And on the other side of that, the church's contribution to that is that the church, Christianity, would then develop law-abiding, hardworking, honest citizens to work in that free state. So that when it works well, when it works the way the Bible wants it to work, it's perfectly aligned for the government to have a free state, so that we are free to carry out the Great Commission. If you think about how that works, that's in its most basic form. And Baptists have contended for centuries that this mutual benefit works best when institutions of the church and the state are separate, and neither one seeks to control the other. And of course, if you know history, that idea, that biblical idea, is unique in history. We've never seen that. We saw a little bit of it in England, in the British Empire, and then maybe the beginnings of it, the roots of it in the British Empire. But then America is the first state to officially have that where the church does not control the government, nor the government controls the church, and that is unique in all of history. And so that's something that Baptists believe should be, but that is unique in history. So if you think about, I'm going to take next week to talk about some specific the history of church and state relations, because I want to this is so important that we understand this. But if you think about salvation, and even membership in a church, salvation is a free choice. It's not to be coerced by either a state or a church. So even the concept, even the belief of salvation, and when somebody's saved and baptized, they are free to choose a church they join. So the very concept of salvation and joining a church is also represents this freedom. And people support churches we support our church by voluntary tithes and offerings. We are not told by the state. We are not told by the church or demanded by the church these issues. We support the church by voluntary contributions because we're following the scripture. But only Jesus is to be our Lord, and it makes sense, right? Jesus is our only Lord. Jesus, we're not to follow a church or a state. And so the concept, if you think about all the avenues of this, is really, of course, common sense, makes sense. But as I said again, this has not been the way that history has worked. And so America is a unique experiment in this idea, this biblical idea of separation of church and state. So we'll leave it there. And I know this is like theory, and I don't mean to bore you with it, but it's so important to understand, this is how we practically live, how we live practically in our country. So, and it's also, if we understand it, then we'll recognize, we'll be better able to recognize when these freedoms begin to be taken away from us. And so we'll talk about the history of some of this, which is perhaps a little more interesting, some of the stories next week. So, all right.